So this morning I want to talk about operation or demolition. Operation or demolition. This is going to be a tight one, but it's going to be right. So make sure we are really getting this one recorded. We must remind ourselves that the Word of God is eternal. Say that. The Word of God is eternal. Say, truth is eternal. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. That word sanctify means to set apart or to consecrate for a purpose. Consecration. One of the workings of the Holy Spirit is to work in us to cause us to separate ourselves. The more you come into the truth, the more you come into the light, the more you see. The more you see ought to help you recognize and make conscious choices and decisions that move you into a place of being sanctified. Holy Spirit working in you and I, it is his job to bring us into sanctification. Now, that sanctification is not a religious term. It's part of the process of salvation. And it is the working of Holy Spirit that continually speaks to you and I. I'm talking about the Spirit of truth now, that continues to speak to you and I, show you things about yourself, good, bad, and otherwise, so that you and I make the adjustments and we align ourselves up with the Word of God. The reality is, truth in a culture of deception or even religion will always create conflict and controversy. That's where we find ourselves right now. We are in a culture of deception. I believe that the Father wants to help you and I in the working of Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to come into a place so that we are able to discern and not be deceived. To be able to discern and not be deceived. I said to you, us in one of our recent teachings, is that all facts don't lead to truth. Facts are the gathering of information. But not all facts lead to the truth. The children of Israel could have went into the promised land, but they leaned more heavily on the facts of the report than what God said. You may go to the doctor and factually get a diagnosis. But my Bible says, whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord that declares he was wounded for my transgressions. Bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of my peace is upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. That's not fact, that's truth. So there is this dynamic in all of our lives where the Spirit of truth is working. And as a born-again believer, we continually give ourselves to the workings of Holy Spirit that allow you and I to be transformed. That's what speaking the truth in love is all about. God is still purposeful to help us because many get offended hearing the truth. Still, many get offended hearing the truth. In the church. So here in John, the 8th chapter, I'm reading 31 through 59, is this particular scenario that takes place that I want to focus on with the thought, operation or demolition. John 8, verse 31, it says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him. Now, these are folk who have heard him. They're believing, but they're believing the way that it works for them. Are you listening to me? Most folks will stay at a church as long as what they're hearing works for them. And it could be flat out the truth. But when that truth doesn't work for you and you're not willing to change, allow spirit of truth along with grace and mercy to work in you to bring about change, oftentimes people run away from that. They fight against it. I know what I'm talking about. So Jesus was saying to those who believe, these are like new converts, okay? It says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. What he's saying, I know you're with me now, but will you be with me later? Because more is going to be revealed. I'm going to share more. You're going to see more, and you're going to know more about yourself. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples of mine. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, we all know that scripture. We all read that. You should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's not saying you shall hear the truth. It says, you shall know the truth. That speaks of believing it, receiving it, and agreeing with it, and cooperating with it. You shall know the truth, not just hear it. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Then they said to him, now these are the Jewish folks that were there, we are of Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Now, say rebuttal. That's the first rebuttal. You know what a rebuttal is, don't you? Someone says something to you, you say something back to them, and particularly if it's in that space of conflict, that can lead to this just back and forth, tit for tat. Well, you know, then they say, well, you, that's the rebuttal back and forth. Jesus is just saying, now what is Jesus doing? He is speaking revelation. He's speaking truth. And he says, you will know the truth. Now, he's saying you will not only hear it, but you will receive it, believe it, receive it, agree with it, and apply it. That's when the word of truth is really working. And the truth will make you free. Holy Spirit working in you and I will often point to something. And I want you to know that he does it in a very respectful way. Often a very private way. And I don't want to get ahead of myself with that. But it takes a sensitivity and it takes a willingness to submit and cooperate. You ever have in your mind that you want to do something and the Holy Spirit tells you, you know, don't do that? That's the spirit of truth working. How many of you will be honest enough to say, but I did it anyway? And so now you're dealing with the consequences of it. Here, what they're doing is now they're pushing back on what Jesus is saying, which is not unlike what we do with the spirit of truth. If we are not careful, sensitive, and yielded to the working of the spirit of truth on the inside of us. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We've never been in bondage. We're of Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. What are you talking about? That's first rebuttal. Jesus answered, said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. the Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. Now listen to this. Yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. Now, I want you to see this progression. This is how truth works, y'all. And this is why it's important for us to get this. The Spirit of truth works in a way where he will reveal to us, speak something to us. The Word works this way. And what we see in this pattern is Jesus starts out very politely. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They rebuttal that, basically saying, we've always been, we don't need that. Jesus kind of kicks that truth to the next stage, to the next level. He says, let me help you out. And that's where he goes on and says to them, what you are saying is of your father. What I'm saying is of my father. Now, their father, little f. His father, capital F. Yeah. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Now, second rebuttal. That's the second rebuttal. Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. Let's just pause right there, because this is something, a dynamic that happens in the body, keeps the body stagnant, keeps folks from growing, and that is God speaks truth to you through someone, you get offended, and you kill the relationship. You do it in a very spiritual way. God's leading me to go here. God's leading me to distance myself. We couch it, and really what you're doing is now you're walking in deception. You're deceiving yourself by trying to justify your state. They are deceiving themselves, but they can't help themselves because of who their father is. You see, as a born-again believer, you don't have an excuse. You're either going to submit the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, or you're going to rebel. Period. Just say, oh my. I knew that's not amen. Oh my. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. That's the second rebuttal. Jesus said, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. He said, I'm paraphrasing now, you can't be of Abraham. You're trying to kill me. I'm just telling you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. He says this, you are doing the deeds of your father. So now truth just went to another level. Now, If we are not mindful, we can find ourselves getting in the flesh, trying to. Combat the truth. Because this next statement they make, they're flat out in the flesh now. They said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." Now, here's the connotation with that. That Jesus was born as a result of fornication. See, you have to remember, people talk. Mary was with child before she was married. So there's all of this drama, backstory, that people feed off of. And this is why you need to operate in the spirit of truth and allow the spirit of truth to work in you. And it's like at this point, that was the third rebuttal. Say third rebuttal. It's almost, I'm gonna say almost like, I just kind of envision, and this is me, it's like they said that, and Jesus said, "Okay, hold my coat. I'm getting ready to get up." Now, that's just me. Wasn't him, couldn't be him. Hear me, because the moment he did that, the plan of salvation would have been over. You do understand that. All it had to be was one act of disobedience. What did Jesus keep doing, though? He kept speaking the truth. He kept speaking the truth. The spirit of truth on the inside of you and I will keep speaking the truth. The word of truth will continue to work as long as you are here. Because he says, God says, "My word will go forth, not return to me void, but accomplish that which I please, and prosper whereunto the thing that I have sent it." That word that he sent to you, inside you, that word is working in tandem with Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The more words you hear, the more you're accountable for. The more truth you hear, the more you're accountable for. So I want you to see, this is where the gloves come off, so to speak. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying?" He's asking them a question. Then he answers the question for them. "It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil." Now, up until then, he's just... But it got to the point where he said, "Okay, I need to make this real clear for you. He is a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies." It doesn't get any more clear than that. He couldn't speak the truth if he tried. It's not his nature. And because he's your father, you can't hear the truth. He says, but because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. I want to say to all of us, listen, when truth comes to you, don't resist. You're giving in to the enemy. You're giving in to the father of lies. And you set yourself up for deception. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. So here's the thing. The more you resist, the more we resist, reject the spirit of truth, the word of truth. And you have to know that the Holy Spirit does not force himself on us. He patiently waits for the next opportunity. However, our hearts can become callous and hardened when we continue to resist and reject truth. And what once could have been an operation now becomes demolition. So, Jesus starts out talking to them in a way for them to hear it, only to have to keep speaking something stronger until it hits them in the face. This is your reality. The Holy Spirit working in our lives is to bring us to a place of repentance. Truth brings us to a place and opportunity of change. But the more we resist, reject the spirit of truth, the word of truth, over time, we become desensitized. Our hearts can become callous, hardened. And now, what could have been operation becomes demolition. And I'm talking about the working of the word now. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, familiar passage for many, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit or both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The word of God is alive, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. But then the word talks about in Jeremiah, it says this, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock. God speaking there in Jeremiah is addressing the culture of the false prophets that are in operation. I'm sorry, Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? Jesus starts out in operation, but then he moves to demolition. God's word working in you and I, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth working in you and I, works the same way. And the church, the body of Christ, we really need it right now. Come on, say operation or demolition. Which do you choose? Which do you choose? Yeah, you can answer that. Which do you choose?
Thank you, Lord.
It is the mercy of God that we not remain the same. It is the grace of God that helps us to hear the truth, accept the truth, apply the truth. God, who is the Spirit of truth, who has given us the word of truth, will only move in truth and in light. First John 1, 5 and 10, 5 through 10. I'm almost done. 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Say deception. Mm-hmm. But if we walk in the light, and as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's what he's saying to those followers there in John chapter 8. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Psalms 33, verse 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Say, in truth. Psalms 145 and verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Say, in truth. So let me share a couple examples. And I just want to read it. This is an excerpt from my book, Nothing But the Truth. And there's actually two excerpts that I want to read that really bring this point home concerning the Spirit of truth operating in our lives and God who works in truth will only work in truth. My wife and I had a friend who, before giving her life to the Lord, was involved in drug trafficking. She is now a precious sister in the Lord. However, sometime after her conversion, say after her conversion, she was arrested for those dealings. Through the counsel of some well-meaning saints, she was told her past was under the blood. so there was no need to admit her guilt. Now, I just want to add this caveat. When she was arrested, this was like the DEA, it was that level. They had built their case, and then they came and got the people. She happened to be one of them. Through the counsel of some well-meaning saints, she was told her past was under the blood, so there was no need to admit her guilt. As the trial went on, everyone else pleaded guilty and bargained for lesser sentences. This friend, however, would not plea bargain and maintained her innocence, believing that it was in her past and under the blood of Jesus. There was one major problem. She was guilty and of the charges, but would not admit to the truth. Because God can only work with the truth. When the day of sentencing came, those who pled guilty received reduced sentences, but the young lady who pled not guilty received the longest sentence. Many were upset and wondered how this could be. She is a Christian, committed to the Lord now. What went wrong? She never admitted the truth. Going back to 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It's out of that place of confession that then grace and mercy get involved. What she needed was mercy before the courts. The word confess in this particular verse comes from the Greek word homologia, homologeo. It means to speak agreeable to fact and truth. To speak agreeable to fact and truth. When the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is working in you and I, speaking to you and I, showing us something, this is the place that we want to find ourselves in. Agreeable to fact and truth. Because Holy Spirit is never guessing. He's never waiting for the rest of the information. He knows. Come on, say he knows. So I wrote her, I believe with all my heart that this sister's sentence would have been much less if she had simply told the truth. Because God works in truth. It was some years later, and Pastor Maurice, I don't know if you remember this, but she came and visited us on Crescentville in 747. She was out. And what she shared was, she went back and confessed, and immediately her sentence was reduced. Time served, and she was released. Okay, so let me end just one more story, and this is me. I've shared with you all that I worked in a cottage, Franklin County Children's Services, with these boys in the cottage. Saved, serving, loving God, leading worship, writing songs. This is from the book. Some years ago, I worked at a child care agency. I worked in a cottage and with anywhere from 5 to 15 boys. There was a number of Christians who worked in the cottage, including my supervisor, her boss, and another coworker who was a very close friend. One day, while working in the cottage, we found ourselves disciplining the boys because of their behavior. The following day, the boys went to school, and they relayed to the teachers how they had been disciplined. Now, just to kind of give you more of that backdrop there, my friend, who's a brother in the Lord, he was in the military, and so they had this, what they called a front-leaning rest. Anybody know what that is? Okay, that's where you're doing like a push-up. Okay, so you go down, you come up, but you stay up. That's front-leaning rest. So what we would do with the boys, because it didn't work to put them in the corner, time out. So we're going to kind of come up with our own. This is one of his ideas. So we got the kids, probably a couple boys, no more than a couple boys, in this front-leaning rest position. You know, and the thing is, you keep them there till it gets uncomfortable. We didn't think it was anything bad, but it wasn't right, okay? So they go to school. They're watching a presentation. In the presentation, they show a scene of, you know, in the military, and, you know, and they're doing this. And one of the kids says, "Oh, they make us do that in the cottage." Teacher says, "Oh, really? Okay." So, the teacher calls, reports that. Now, anytime a complaint or accusation is made against an employee in this field of work, the agency always investigates the circumstances. This also means that the employees are investigated. Okay? Upon my arrival to work that evening, I was told that I was being investigated along with my coworker. I was told that I could have a union representation if I wanted it, or I could tell them what happened. Immediately, I denied that anything had happened, and that I would not discuss it without union representation. My coworker had already taken the same stand. Now, here we are, Spirit-filled believers. They know us in the cottage as believers. In the ministry we had at the time, he played bass. I would bring my keyboard to work. He would bring his bass to work. And we would play songs in the cottage with the boys. We would bring our whole team on the grounds and do concerts and things. Yeah. So immediately, I'm going to deny it. And I ain't talking to anybody without union representation. That's like, I'm going to wholly rely on Egypt here. I'm going to wholly rely on the system here. Not the Holy Ghost. The problem was that he and I both knew we had overstepped our authority in the way we disciplined the boys. We both knew that we were lying, and I felt bad about it. After meeting with the union representatives, I felt even worse. Their counsel was, if they can't prove it, it didn't happen. Now stay with me. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth working on the inside of us. The next day, I was miserable as the Holy Spirit dealt with my heart. I could not pray. I could not pray because I knew I was wrong. Now, I know you've never been in that spot before, but just bear with me. I'm trying to help somebody, probably somebody just watching. I know it's not any of you in the room. I could not pray because I knew I was wrong. I knew I lied. God can only work in the truth. He can only work in the light. You can't make an agreement with God. Can we just cover this up? I could not pray because I knew I was wrong. All the staff knew. All the staff knew that we were Christians and that we had even ministered to the boys on the grounds. I went to rehearsal with the group that we had at the time. And I remember sharing with the group what was going on. And one well-meaning sister just, "Well, John, you know what you got to do. You got to tell the truth." But see, when you ain't quite there, you can resist it. I knew what she was saying was right. So that was over the weekend, that Monday. So here we go. Finally, I called my supervisor, and I told her I needed to talk to her because, you see, when they put you on an investigation, you're suspended, okay? You're suspended with pay, but you're suspended. You don't talk to anybody. My union rep said, you don't talk to them. Let us handle it. If they can't prove it, it didn't happen. Once I yielded and repented and allowed God to really work in me, because here's what I understood. I can't afford to lose this job. And my confidence can't be in the union. My confidence can't be in the system. If anyone's going to come to my aid, it's got to be God. Finally, I called my supervisor and I told her I needed to talk to her. She called her boss and I met with the two of them. I told them my earlier statements were not true and that what was most important to me was walking uprightly before God. I told them that I was a man of God and I must tell the truth. After telling them exactly what happened, they thanked me for my honesty and assured me that they would speak on my behalf in the investigation report. They said they were shocked by my honesty because they could not prove anything. Upon my confession, the other brother came forth with some reluctance and told the truth as well. Well, it just happens that way. I mean, I was accused of throwing him under the bus and everything else, but I think I saved him, saved his job. And so we both ended up with just minimal consequences, excuse me, because our supervisor and her boss, they really did like and respect us. When the Spirit of truth is working, you don't want to resist it. You don't want to rebuttal. When you find yourself having done something that you know doesn't align with the Word of God, the will of God, repentance is the only posture that brings us into a place where God can respond graciously and mercifully towards us and for us. So that day when I met with them, it was early in the day, and they just simply said to me, "Well, in light of you coming forth and sharing all this, we're just going to make this day be your day of consequences. see you on your next scheduled day to come to work. And that was it. That's how the Holy Spirit will work in all of our lives as we give ourselves to a spirit of truth. Did you receive anything out of this?